to thank the organizer, Guifrey Vidal and Frank for this wonderful workshop. And today I'm going to talk about this tensor network representations for TQFTs, topological quantum field theory. And especially based on this tensor network representation, we find a new classes of topological quantum field theory and maybe have possible applications for quantum gravity. The first part in my talk, I will talk about some interesting duality structure in this different class of topological order. And in the second part, I will talk about this TQFT constructions from the tensor networks. So first, I will introduce what is the so-called intrinsic topological order, and there are TQFT descriptions. And then I will introduce some new concept called this symmetry protected topological order, which is related to the recently invented topological insulators. And then I will discuss this very interesting duality map between this intrinsic topological order and the symmetry protected topological order. And then I will introduce the tensor network description for the intrinsic topological order. And based on the duality map, we can also apply to this symmetry protected topological order. And it turns out this class of TQFTs are completely new and we did not realize before. And finally, I will briefly talk about this Feynman generalization of the TQFTs from this Grassmann graded tensor networks. Finally, there's a summary and outlook. As we know, this fractional quantum Hall effect is very interesting and really reflects the strong correlation in quantum physics. So basically, at classical level, this Hall effect, we are very familiar since our in senior school. If we apply some current along the direction and the perpendicular direction, we introduce this voltage. However, at quantum level, people find there's kind of quantized plateaus in this Hall resistivity. And this is really from the strong correlation nature of the electrons moving in the magnetic field. And another interesting topological phenomenon in condensed matter physics is that the so-called spin liquid in frustrated spin system. If we consider this Kagome lattice, you can imagine we studied the Heisenberg model on a Kagome lattice, and there's no way to form some like a classical order. So they became highly frustrated, and the first very early concept about this kind of state is called the resonance valence bound state. And currently, we know there's a topological order in such kind of valence bound state. And of course, in high TC, people believe this mother state, the so-called pseudogap state, which might be the instability for the antiferromagnetic order and the superconductive order, also related to this topological phenomena. Okay, so from this topological phenomena, we can conclude that the new states of matter actually have some very nice and interesting property. So Xiaogang first gave the name of topological order, and here we call it intrinsic topological order. And these states can have the same symmetry as the usual symmetry breaking system, and there's no long-range correlations. And of course, the most interesting thing is that they are ground state degeneracies maybe depend on the topology of the space. So that means there's something intrinsically non-local, but in the correlation, everything is still short range. The most amazing thing is that one can show these states actually are robust against any local perturbation. So that's implied the possible applications in so-called topological quantum computing. And also, there are some other interesting phenomena like this excitations carry fractional statistics. And for chiral topological order like fractional quantum Hall, even have protected edge mode. OK, so these phenomena make the new class of state highly non-trivial and very different from the Ginzburg-Langlois paradigm for this orders of matter. And people realize topological quantum field theory may be very powerful and useful to study such kind of new class of phenomena. And In high energy physics, we know the topological quantum field theory by definition is a subclass of this quantum field theory, and whose action actually independent of space-time metric. Topological quantum field theories are stable fixed point actions, and they are very powerful tools to help us understand the various topological phenomena in condensed matter system. So for example, this fraction in quantum Hall state, people use this so-called Chern-Simons action describe this novel physics. So basically, the meaning of this Chern-Simons term is that we can assume the electron in the fraction quantum Hall state is not a elementary particle. Actually, it's a composite particle, which is a boson attached with a three flux quanta. So in this case, the net magnetic flux was canceled away, and this boson can condense. But the vortices, the fundamental excitations in this system actually will carry fractional charge, E over 3, for instance, for this roughly one-third state. And such kind of interesting phenomena also exist in the so-called spin liquid. So for example, the simplest Z2 spin liquid can be described as equal with the superposition of all possible Schrödinger singlet pairs. So each bond just means it's a spin singlet. So if we have equal with the superposition on a triangular lattice, we can have a Z2 spin liquid. And basically, the low energy effective theory is described by this Z2 gauge theory. And equivalently, we can use some the so-called double Chern-Simons action to describe such kind of Z2 gauge theory. And basically, the K matrix here only have this diagonal off-diagonal 2 and 2. That means the charge and the flux, they carry mutual statistics. And again, this action is independent metric of the space-time, and it's a fixed point actions. Okay, so but very interesting. Recently, people realized actually there's a new class of topological phenomena, the so-called symmetry protected.
Unless it is unrelated to what you're going to say next, this AI mu, what is it?
You mean this?
Yeah.
This is kind of some internal field. It's emergent field. Yeah, if you
doesn't have an obvious description in terms of
it's a kind of emergent field. If you integrate out this spin fluctuations, you automatically get this emergent field. So similar for this quantum Hall effect, you integrate out this fluctuation for fermions, then you get this fictitious field. Yeah, so they are dynamic internal field. Okay, so this new class of phenomena is called this topological insulate, and people believe if we have time reversal symmetry, there are still some very interesting topological protections in the system. For instance, they can have very stable edge modes, and we call the it's kind of the double quantum double of this integer quantum Hall state, because each spin species can carry opposite chirality. Okay, so and the people also imagine there might be new applications for this semiconductor and for some device. Okay, so actually this is such kind of new topological phenomena indeed is discovered many years ago, and we can go back to this Haldane's famous spin one chain. And until recent years, people realized actually in this very old model, the topological order in this model is also protected by many symmetry. For example, it can be protected by this time reversal symmetry, by this spin rotation symmetry, and by this like parity symmetry. So this model is very simple, because this model is kind of a spin one Heisenberg model, and add this square term, and you can represent it as a projection of spin two for the adjunct to such spin. And you can show in a very simple picture, it's just a kind of some valence solid, valence bound solid state. But on each side, you need to project this spin one half to spin zero and spin one sector. And then you can show on the edge, there's a spin one half dangling particles. This kind of analogy of the protected edge state in this topological insulate in high dimensions. But yeah, indeed, all these states need a symmetry protection. And in this sense, it's not as robust as the intrinsic topological order. So we can conclude this new topological phenomena have the following properties. They can, again, can have the same symmetry as trivial disorder phase. Like this AKLT, you can not distinguishable from trivial disorder state in terms of symmetry. But they do have phase transitions and it belong to two different classes of phase. And also there's no Lagrangian entanglement because this AKLT just like some valence monosolid. And they have unique ground state. This is also true in high dimension like in topological insulator. And the excitations do not carry any fractional statistics. And they are indistinguishable with a trivial disorder phase if the symmetry is broken in the bulk. But interestingly, they still have some remnant topological phenomena, like this protected gapless edge state, if symmetry is not spontaneous or explicitly breaking on the edge. And also, they can stable against any local perturbations that are preserving symmetry. So these properties make this state still very interesting. OK, so yeah, we want to understand how to describe the symmetry protected nature of symmetry protected order. Actually, it turns out the intrinsic topological order proposed first by Xiao Gang and this symmetry protected order recently experimentally proposed by Xiao Chen, they are the two sides of a coin. So there's an interesting duality between these two different orders. OK, so try to understand the interesting symmetry protected order. I just started from some very, very simple model. So this model, maybe most of you are very familiar, and it's trivial. So, but yeah, I would like to explain again. It's called a toric code model. So this model basically have a vertex term and have a plaquette term. So the vertex term is just a multiplication of 4 sigma z, and the plaquette term is a multiplication of 4 sigma x. And you can show this term, basically, they are commute because the overlap of sigma x and sigma z just always even. So but the sigma x and sigma z, they are anti-commute. And then you can solve this model explicitly. So we want to first solve the first constraint. And then to solve this constraint, we can have a very nice string picture. If we map this spin up state to the no string configuration and spin down to one string configuration, then this constraint just means we don't allow open string. So any low energy state satisfy this constraint needed to form some closed loop in the string language. And then the second term is very simple. The second term, you can see, just kind of create a small loop on the plaquette. And then if you also want to favor the energy of the second term, you can think about the string need to fluctuate. So if you create a small loop of string here, then you can deform this string from small to large. And then you have fluctuations. And it turns out this ground state is just equal with the superposition of all possible loops. So this state actually have the similar intrinsic topological order as the Z2 spin liquid. In data languages, just equal with the superposition of all the dimer coverings. OK. Then here, it's also very easy to understand this topological degeneracy because we can have global string around this torus. And then this global string cannot be destroyed by this fluctuation of this plaquette. You can make the string larger or smaller, but you cannot remove it. And you can think about there's even number of string, or the number of string on the torus, and also the other side. Then very naturally, we get a fourfold ground state degeneracies on the torus. OK, so here I would like to introduce another slightly non-trivial, but a still simple model, the so-called twisted toric code model. Also called a double semion. I will explain later. So this model actually is also very simple. So to describe this model in a simple way, I put it on the honeycomb lattice. But yeah, it's the same thing. You know, topological state, they can be put on any lattice. So the second term is slightly different from the previous one. You know, the first term, they are the same thing, just a multiplication of this sigma z, and they also have this closed loop condition. But the second term, there's the extra phase factor here. Actually, this phase factor looks like a little bit complicated. But the effect of this phase factor is when we create a single loop, we pick up a minus sign. And but it's kind of non-trivial because if you locally create a loop, and sometimes you may change the number of total loop, sometimes you don't change. If you don't change, then you don't get this sign. If you change the total number, you get a minus sign. So in this case, you can show the ground state wave function actually is still kind of equal with the superposition of all the closed loop, but you have a plus minus sign oscillation depending on number of loops, total number of loops. So it's a topological sign factor. And it turns out the effective field theory described this model can be right on in terms of this, such kind of double transform theory with diagonal 2 and minus 2. So actually, the meaning of this K matrix is very simple. It kind of 2 just means one Laughlin state, bosonic Laughlin state at a filling fraction 1/2. And the other is minus 2 is kind of also Laughlin state at a filling fraction 1/2, but with opposite magnetic field. So it's kind of two copy of this bosonic Laughlin state at a filling fraction 1/2. So we call this double semi model. And it turns out the quasi particles in this model is very different from the toroidal model. In the toroidal model, we have this Z2 electronic charge, we have Z2 magnetic flux, and we have this bound state, which is a fermion. But in this semi model, we have this one layer, we have this semion, and the other layer, we have the called this conjugate semion, which have the opposite chirality. And the bound state is actually just a very simple boson. Okay, so these two models, they have very different topological orders, so there must be a transition from one ground state to the other. Then, to understand the nature of the symmetry protected topological order, here we want to apply some duality map. Actually, the duality map may be already familiar with most of people. It's a very novel duality from this Z2 gauge series to transverse IC model. So the duality actually is very simple because we can think about we put some Ising spin degree of freedoms on the Poincaré center. So basically, in this case, this Z2 string just looks like a Dumont wall of this spin configuration. For example, we have all spins down and up. Then we have a Dumont wall. That means we have a string. So from this duality, it can be shown the Poincaré term actually is just a map to this very simple spin flip term on the dual lattice. But the first term do not play any roles because we need to use the U infinite limit to ensure there's no closed loop. Because in the Ising language, all the Dumont walls, they just are closed. There's no open Dumont wall. So if we want to apply the duality, actually we need to just constrain ourselves in the closed loop sector. And if we, in general, we can also add some like Zeeman term in the toroidal model. And in this case, this model is not exactly solvable. But it turns out this model still can have, due to this very very classical, very novel transverse IC model, and this kind of just this nearest neighbor interactions in the transverse IC model. And in the StreamNet language, the StreamNet colonization phase described, in the previous slides, I showed this topological order described by this equal with the superposition of loop. So in that case, it's called a StreamNet colonization. So in the string net colonization phase, actually corresponding to this Dumont wall colonization in the transverse IC model. So it's not a surprise. It just gave out this very trivial disorder phase. Okay, so here this map just show you some very novel relation between these two models. But if we think about the dual model of this semi model, actually something interesting happened because in the semi model, this term plays as a loop flip term, but it will give us some non-trivial minus sign when we flip this. When we create a new loop. So in the Ising model language, we have some Ising spin in the hexagon center and form this triangular lattice. And again, in the dual model, we have this term, which actually also give you a minus sign when you create a Dumont wall. If you change the number of Dumont wall in the Ising disorder phase, there's a minus sign. And it turns out such kind of icing disorder phase is very different from the previous icing disorder phase, and there must be a phase transition if the Z2 symmetry is preserved. So we can use the argument following. If we consider an artificial model like this, so we connect the IC model and this twisted IC model by some parameter alpha. When alpha is 1, it's the IC model, and it's 0, it's the twisted IC model. And in the dual model, we show if alpha is 1, we have this toroidal model, and if alpha is 0, we have this double Samuel model. But in this side, we know there must be a phase transition, because this model and this model, they describe two different topological orders. Okay, then we can conclude that in this model, there also should be a transition at somewhere. And it turns out this model, it have a very nice self-dual structure. Also, of course, it's the same thing in this model. The reason is that because in the loop space language, this term just kind of create some new loop, right? But you can think about in the loop space language, you use some new basis. You can think about you use the basis that have a minus sign as a weight of the number of the loop. So in this new basis, this term can become this term, and this term can become this term. So, yes, okay. In this term, we can think about we use some closed loop configuration, and this just flip the just create a new loop and connect all the loop configurations. But we can think about so this is what we call the basis 1, and we use some new basis called the basis 2. If we use some basis already, it's kind of global unitary transformation. If we use some new basis already put into this weight, then it can be shown this Hamiltonian just become this Hamiltonian, because when it connect the loops, it take account the different number of loops, and this term become this term. Okay, then it can be shown actually it's self-dual and it must have a phase transition at alpha equal to 0.5. And interestingly, we can further show that the edge state of this symmetry protected topological order, this new symmetry protected topological order, is non-trivial. So in a simple way, we can just put this very simple term on the boundary. It turns out it's symmetry breaking. So our conclusion is that if the symmetry is not broken on the boundary, it must be gapless. So now let me try to introduce some new boundary term. So this boundary term is very simple, just nearest neighbor interactions of this icing spin. OK, so this new boundary term is slightly non-trivial. So this sigma tilt has you can imagine it's the same as this sigma tilt here. Where it's a spin flip with some sign depending on the neighboring spin configurations. But on the boundary, it's a little bit tricky to define this term, because you can imagine you have icing spin here, you want to flip, but you need to take account of the configuration of icing spin around it, right? But in the bulk, you have a well-defined, you have a well-definition for this term. But on the boundary, it isn't, because on the boundary, here are some missing spins. But you can imagine you just put some fictitious spins on the boundary. Let's say we just put all the boundary here, some fictitious spins with all the spin polarized up. In this case, the boundary term of this spin flip have a well definition, because if you take account the neighboring spin, you just think about these two spins just up. Then we call this term sigma tilde up. And it's similar, because this term is not invariant on the Z2, because when we apply this Z2 transformation, this up become down. So we also need to incorporate such a term with all the boundary spin pointed down. So, but this edge Hamiltonian can be shown they are indeed symmetric on the Z2 transformation. And this edge Hamiltonian have a very interesting algebra. First, we can show the edge Hamiltonian is commutative with the bulk Hamiltonian. This is trivial, because in the previous model, it's just every term just commuting terms, because here, every term just a commuting projectors. So in the dual model, it's the same thing. OK, but the commuting algebra between this edge Hamiltonian is very funny and interesting. So we conclude that it's a very simple calculation. You can just check after my talk. So I'm not going into the detail here. So you can show that for the same species of spin, they everything just commute. But for different species of spin, for this sigma tilde up and sigma tilde down, they actually anti-commute when they their neighbor set, but commute otherwise. So such kind of algebra can be solved by introducing this Majorana fermion operator. So we can write down this sigma tilde. Sorry, it should be sigma tilde, not sigma up. Sigma tilde up as a pair of Majorana fermion. And this sigma tilde down as another pair of Majorana fermion. So the structure is like this. Yeah, so you can show that you can imagine we have a lattice. And this gamma 2p, gamma 2p plus 1 is kind of a pair of this two Majorana fermion. And this is kind of a pair of these two. And when you shift, there are actually one overlap of Majorana fermion, so that's why they anti-commute. And if we go further, it's they just no overlap and they just commute. Okay, then it turns out this edge Hamiltonian can be write down in terms of this free Majorana hopping Hamiltonian, and you can solve it explicitly. It turns out this dispersion just it's a plus minus sign k, and when k is small, it's just a linear dispersion. It describes this non-chiral Lattice liquid. And
in
the bulk, there's no propagating. Constraint on the boundary. Then you can further analyze the stability of this state, because we know it's Lattice liquid. It's, I'm not going into the detail here, because we can transform to the standard bosonization, use the bosonization technique to go to this Lattice liquid theorem. And you can show that any relevant perturbations must break this Z2 symmetry. So the conclusion is that on the boundary, it must be gapless if the symmetry is not broken on the boundary. So it's the same phenomena as we discovered in this topological insulate. Okay. Then we may imagine we have some interesting topological phenomena in this kind of model, but do we have a topological quantum field theory description for such kind of models, especially for those systems protected by discrete symmetry? But in continuum limit, it's very hard to imagine to write down some kind of topological term in terms of this global discrete symmetry. Because in the continuum symmetry, you can think about some nonlinear sigma model, but in the discrete symmetry, it's very hard. Okay, and how to, especially how to understand the topological phenomena in high dimension in 3D, because in 3D, our knowledge about this topological quantum field theory is very limited. And again, these TQFTs, we know they're just a special quantum field series whose actions are independent on the background metric. And what kind of most generical paradigm we can have for TQFTs. Okay, so the answer is, of course, the tensor networks works here. Okay, so actually the tensor network description for this path integral formalism is very natural, and actually we used it everywhere, because you can think about we want to study some path integral formalism for 1 plus 1D system, and if we study this partition function, and we have a Hamiltonian, and we just e2 minus beta h, but we can cut it into many, many slices. So in each slice, we just insert some complete basis. So then actually we get this tensor network representation. So it's a very trivial and simple exercise. But the non-trivial point here is that instead of think about the traditional Lagrangian RG in the continuum limit, here we can think about this tensor RG in a discrete version. So in this Lagrangian, we can kind of think about we combine some tensor together, get some coarse-grained tensor, and we do again and again, and finally we may end up with some fixed-point tensor. So in terms of this tensor network language, the fixed-point tensors can describe different quantum phases. Okay, so this is the kind of analogy for this Lagrangian description. The fixed-point Lagrangian can describe many different critical phenomena. But it does not work for the gapped phase with correlation length zero. But the tensor network language still works, and even work for critical. So Guifu V Bedell developed this mirror method, and probably tomorrow there are a whole day about this structure to describe this critical system. But here I'm just stick on this gapped system, and especially for TQFTs. Okay, so it turns out in this case it's very simple. This tensor always have a finite dimension, and it's a completely characterized topological properties of the phase. Okay, so the simplest example is that for the previous model I mentioned, like the toricode and this twisted toricode, they are all subclasses of the so-called StringNet model. And in the most general fashion, you can show the partition function of this StringNet model actually can be represented as the so-called Torrio-Virou state sum invariance. It's the most famous topological invariance we know so far. So here, this G is kind of just the very standard 6GG symbol. You can imagine if you think about this SU2 group, you can always have some 6GG symbol. So this 6GG symbol performs as the fixed point tensor in the Lagrangian. And this partition function, fixed point partition function, just the multiplication of all these 6G symbol and the sum over the shared index. So geometrically, we can have a very nice picture for this G symbol. We put the six indices of the G symbol on the sixth link of the tetrahedral. And then we can show this renormalization move actually corresponding to the tetrahedral move. And actually, indeed, it turns out this Pentagon equation, the famous Pentagon equation, guarantee this tetrahedral move. So the first move is that we have two tetrahedral. So I color this the shared surface. And we add one more link. Connect this point and this point, and we deform to two tetrahedral. So I colored the three shared surfaces. So the first step is called 2-2-3 move. So this kind of disentangler in the mirror description. And the other move is the so-called 4-2-1 move. Kind of we have one vertex inside this tetrahedral, and we can remove it and get a coarse grain tetrahedral. So this is called a 4-2-1 move. But all these moves actually can be derived from this Pentagon equation. Okay, so based on these two RG moves, if this G symbol, this fixed point tensor, satisfy this 2-2-3 and 1-2-4 move, you can show it's a fixed point tensor. And that's describe different fixed point topological phases. Okay, then we can think about we shall be able to apply this duality map at this partition function level, because for the string net or for all the like toricode, twisted toricode, we already know the partition function is the famous Torrio-Virou. And then if we want to understand the partition function for this symmetry protected topological order, we just apply the duality map here. So for instance, for the very simple model I mentioned before, like this Z2 case, it turns out you have Ising spin. You can put Ising spin on the vertices of the tetrahedral, and this string label kind of one string on zero string. Just use this red and black. Black means no string. Red means one string. So kind of this from Ising spin to their domain wall duality. So in the string net model, the G symbol is a function of this domain wall variable which. It's put on a sixth link, but in this group, in this nonlinear sigma model language, because in the nonlinear sigma model, in the passing integral, we sum over all possible configurations for different group elements. So you can think about this Ising spin just the group elements, and in the nonlinear sigma model language, this G you can map to some G tilt, which is only a function of this four group elements, and you can further show they are actually invariant on the G action, because if you flip all the spin, it's the same domain wall configuration. So you guarantee it can have this symmetry. So it's very similar as the topological term of the nonlinear sigma model, because first it's invariant on the group action, and second, if for any closed manifold, you can show the amplitude of this action just one. It's a kind of topological Barry phase term. And it turns out the Pentagon equation, the very famous Pentagon equation I mentioned above, becomes this another very famous equation called this group co-cycle equation. So in the group co-cycle equation, everything is just a function of group elements, and it's kind of map from group elements to this U1 modular space. And Yeah, this GTL actually perform as this third core cycle.
Before the previous.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, you were discussing square lattice and so on. Now you are coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because it's a topological quantum field theory, so you can actually, you can define on any trivalence graph, yeah. So in the previous model, I just put on the model on the square lattice, but later I put on a honeycomb lattice, but here it's more general, can be put on any lattice.
So is that dependent on what you started, the lattice that you
started? It's independent, just due to this Pentagon equation or this RG equation. You can show all the lattices, you can apply this move.
Actually, you start
move. They can connect to each other, yeah. And it depends on the topology of your manifold. So any graph with the same topology, they give out the same amplitude here.
So in that sense, Z is some universal number at the end of the day.
It's just some universal number. Tell you the degenerates on the manifold here. But in the dual model, actually, it turns out this number is always 1. It's kind of a topological barrier-faced term. Yeah, it's independent of the topology of the manifold. So it's rather the same property as the symmetry protected topological order.
Mm-hmm. Are we in 2 plus 1
dimensions here? Here is 2 plus 1D. So the partition function is right in 3D. It's a 3D partition function. But this duality is very general and it can be applied to any dimension. And this, I will show this actually, the group cocycle can also be generalized to arbitrary dimension. So here, in this very simple example, it's a two-dimensional case, and we use this third group cocycle and a third. Because here, we can also input some like gauge transformation, because once you have a solution G tilt, you can think about there's some gauge transformation performed as a co-boundary. So then, finally, if you want to classify different phases, you need to model out this co-boundary, quotient of the co-boundary. Then the classification is actually given out by this third cohomology. So a third cohomology of Z2 with coefficient U1 is actually Z2. So that's why we can get two different symmetry protected topological order in 2 plus 1D. Okay, so this generalization and the construction is very general and can be generalized to arbitrary dimension. So in the partition function, we just replace this third cohomology, third cocycle coefficient into this D plus 1 cocycle coefficient in any D dimension. And there's some detail that in general may be more complicated than the previous model, because this function usually don't have this symmetry like the 6JG symbol. If it don't have the symmetry, we need to introduce some local order for these vertices of the tetrahedral. The very nice way to introduce this is that we put some so-called branching structure. Branching means in any loop, there's no loop with the order link have the same arrow. If you have some closed loop order link with the same arrow, you cannot locally order the vertices. So here, yeah, the branching structure can help us make the local ordering. Okay, it can be further shown that the ground state of such kind of partition function actually is always unique. And if we don't apply any symmetry condition, it can be shown this wave function just a trivial connected to the product state. So again, this is the same property as the symmetry protected topological order. Okay, so in arbitrary dimensions, we conclude that the symmetry protected topological order actually classified by D plus 1 cohomology with coefficient U1T. So here, the T means we need to modify this modular space a little bit if we consider this anti-unitary. You also acting non-trivially on the modular space. Okay. So here the conclusion is that if we consider this topological insulator, this kind of bosonic version of topological insulators, we get the classifications like in 1D is 1, in 2D is 2, in 1D is Z2, 2D is Z2, and 3D is kind of Z2 square. And we can also have this like a bosonic version of a topological superconductor, the time reverse environment topological superconductor, which is Z2 in 1D and 3D, and there's no non-trivial one in 2D and 0D. And for this ZN case, the special model I showed you before is the Z2 case. So for ZN case, we have classification of ZN in zero dimension and two dimension, but we don't have non-trivial phase in one dimension and three dimension. So the, for the Z2 case, we only have non-trivial solutions in two dimension and don't have non-trivial solutions in one and three dimension. Because in one dimension, all these things actually equivalent to the classification of projective representation, because H2 GU1 just gave you out this projective representation, which actually classified the different types of edge spins. You can think about in one dimension, the total state is singlet, but on the boundary, you can have projective representations for the group, actually classified by this H2. Actually, we can further show that such kind of classification in 1D is complete, and all the non-trivial gap phase only classified by this H2 GU1. Okay, so finally, how many minutes I have? Almost. Okay. So yeah, before I end my talk, I gave you some like iteration how this is connected to the continuum limit. So a very famous model for this continuum limit, 1+1D spin chain, actually we know can describe by this nonlinear sigma model. So this N is a unit vector live on the sphere. And in a nonlinear sigma model, we usually know this, there's a topological theta term here. And in that case, if we consider the system with open boundary condition, actually it can be sure it can induce this Westphal-Minow-Witten term on the boundary. Because this term, if we consider spin one case, this term in the bulk is trivial because it always give out a total contribution of 2 pi if theta equal to 2 pi. But on the boundary, it's still non-trivial. Describe this spin half motion. Okay, so now I show you how to go from this continuum description to our discrete constructions. You can think about on the sphere, you do some triangulations, but then we also similarly introduce this arrow to ordering the local vertices. Okay, then each term, this we call the new, actually it's a second, just like a second cocycle, it's kind of exponential of integral of the area on this small triangular. And again, it can be sure because this model, this action is invariant on the group action. So of course we have this invariant condition. But something interesting is that if we consider some minimal surface, minimal triangulation for this S2, it should be a tetrahedral. So on this tetrahedral, you can show because it's a topological Barry phase term, so the amplitude of this action must be equal to 1. So actually, this gives out the second cocycle condition. So this is some very iterative picture on how you go from this continuum limit to our discrete description, tensor network description. Okay, so the such kind of picture actually is very general and apply in any dimension. So in any dimension, in the continuum limit, you can have like a topological theta term, and in the discrete case, you can have such kind of new topological terms. Okay, so finally,
what you showed now is a different way of looking at nonlinear sigma model.
Yeah. So here is the kind of continuum way because you need this group is some continuum Lie group. But in the discrete version, we can replace this group element in terms of this discrete group element. So it's a more general way to construct. Yeah, but in a continuum way, we can go back. Everything just equivalent.
Since this is related to AKLT model.
Yeah. This is
see that structure.
Yeah. If in the AKLT model, you consider the AKLT model have SO3 symmetry, then you can use this nonlinear sigma model argument, and you can also use this one. They are the same thing. Yeah. But if you consider AKLT protected by like only discrete symmetry, time reversal symmetry, then we don't have such kind of nonlinear sigma model. But in this discrete construction, it still works. Yeah. So that's the magic and the power of this method. Okay. Before I end my talk, I briefly mentioned this Grossmann generalization of TQFTs in any dimension. So why we want to define this so-called Feynman TQFT? Because Feynman TQFT describes intrinsic symmetry or symmetry protected topological order in Feynman system. So this kind of like a trivial statement, but actually it's non-trivial because it turns out the TKFTs for Freeman system and for Boson system, they can be very different. And essentially, the TKFT in Freeman systems cannot be realized in Boson system, like this fractional quantum Hall effect. We know the denominator of the filling should be odd in the Freeman case, it should be even in the Boson case. So they are quite different. They belong to two different classes. So only with this Grassmann-graded TKFT, we are able to describe such kind of new topological terms in Freemanic systems. So the construction is also straightforward. You can think about in the Freemanic case, we can grade this G symbol. So in this case, the G symbol become more complicated here. So I just explain the meaning of the G symbol in a geometrical way. So in the previous bosonic construction, this G symbol only have six labels on the six links, right? But in the Freemanic way, actually, we also need to put a four Grassmann number on the four faces, because each face also have orientation. Because here we put the branching structure, then we can define orientation for each face. So for each face, you have natural orientation, then you have a natural ordering for this metric. So the P here means the Freeman parity. So like on this surface indices. It can be Freeman parity even, Freeman parity odd. If it's even, means there's no Grassmann variable. If all the p just a zero, just a even, then we go back to the bosonic TQFT. But with some cases, if p is one, it's odd, then we can have some Grassmann number live on the on this surface, and it describes some different and new TQFTs. And but if we consider some local TQFTs, we need to require that. All the Grassmann number on the total tetrahedral must be even. It's kind of fermion parity conservation conditions, because any local process cannot violate this fermion parity. So this is kind of locality conditions. Okay, so finally, just let me conclude. Intrinsic topological order and symmetry protected topological order can be related through this duality map. This is the first message I want to give. And then we show that the TKFTs for SPT orders based on the tensor network representation actually very powerful. They're kind of discrete analogy of this topological terms of nonlinear sigma model, and whose boundary we know described by this Westholm-Minowitten term. So here we can imagine on the boundary we have this generalized Westholm-Minowitten term. So that's why we can derive this gapless edge if the symmetry is not broken. And if you go to the continuum limit, of course, on the 1 plus 1D boundary, there's no way to spontaneous breaking symmetry. So the Westholm-Minowitten term always describes a critical physics. OK. Also, the Grassmann generalization of this Torrio-Virou move also opened new way to investigate all the Freemanic TQFTs which exist in Freemanic system. And the duality map actually is very general. Can apply to fermion and boson, can be applied to any dimension. Especially in 3D, because we know a large class of this symmetry protected order, but our knowledge about this intrinsic topological order is very limited. So based on this duality map, we can maybe can derive some new TQFTs in 3D. Okay, so finally, I would give some maybe random thinking about this possibility for quantum gravity. First, this TQFT is constructed from this tensor network can be defined without space-time background because in the continuum limit, we know there are independent space-time metric. But actually, the discretized version is more conceptually different because in that case, we even do not need any background space-time because we don't define this differential operator. We don't have all those continuum descriptions. So anything just like algebraic framework. We have a data set. So this data set describes some invariants. Okay. Then the TKFTs derived from this tensor network also can be regarded as a background of some maybe emergent space-time. If we can have some stable TKFT and have some collective mode describe this gravitons, then it might be a possible theory of quantum gravity. Okay, so in 2 plus 1, we have very good example. It turns out that the quantum gravity in 2 plus 1 is a TQFT, and it actually is kind of very similar as this quantum Hall effect. It's kind of just a double. It's U2 level K. Okay, so, and finally, this new TQFT is based on this tensor network representation. be a potential candidate for quantum gravity. Okay, thank you for your attention.
All right, so time for questions.
So you mentioned that mm-hmm. you can describe fermionic topological
theory.
Mm-hmm. What about a simple Fermi C?
Oh, Fermi C is not a topological quantum field theory.
But is it possible to think about?
I don't know, because here we are still limited on the gapped phase. So yeah, we're still far from this critical phase. So I don't know. Maybe in that case, maybe like this ADS safety duality may be more useful. Here duality may be some very, very simple. It's the duality between this gapped phase and the gapless boundary.
So you started with Kitaev model, and then on the other hand, a twisted Kitaev model.
From this Kitaev toric code, you know, there's a more general class called a string net model. And in the string net model contain this twisted Kitaev model. Before twist, we map to the very trivial disorderizing model. But after twist, we get some non-trivial disorderizing phase, which have protected elements.
And you had a table of classification.
Does it use
toric code model, or it's just beyond that?
It's different, because here we already apply this duality map, so it's classified this symmetry protected topological order. So it's different class. It's not included this toric code. Toric code already classified by this string net model. Yeah. So here it's different class. Here, if without a symmetry, it's just a trivial phase. So a kind of analogy of this topological insulators in bosonic system.
Any other question? I have one then. Uh-huh. So when you map the toric code to the Ising model, mm-hmm. this is a duality transformation.
Yeah.
It's local.
Local.
It's you start with a local model.
Local
model. Yeah. Local. Depending on which terms you have. It's not going to be completely local.
It's a completely local.
So there are terms that you could have in the
Ising
model not be local
in the Ising model. If you preserve Z2 symmetry, everything is local.
If you preserve the symmetry.
Yeah. So
what you're saying is that as long as you
preserve
symmetry,
It's going to be local. Yeah, so that's why here we call it symmetry protected topology model. If without Z2 symmetry, it's not local.
So when you generalize this duality to general models, again, if you preserve the
symmetry.
Then it's local.
Yeah, because in this model, if we don't preserve symmetry, there's no non-trivial topological phase. Sorry, I should mention that. That's some detail, so sorry.
All right, back.
So what's the relationship with this and the talk that Giffey gave of tensor networks?
For this and what?
Is there any relation? So what the tensor rack networks that you look at, how are they related to the tensor networks that the three was kind of?
Oh, it's different because you mean the mirror, right?
No. In general, how
does
it relate to matrix product state?
I discussed this partition function level construction. So it means we can use the fixed point tensor to describe a fixed point partition function. But of course, the ground state is just a tensor product state because you can apply this holographic principle. You have a fixed point partition function described by this local tensor network. Then you cut a boundary. On the boundary, you get a wave function. So it's guaranteed to be a local tensor product state on the boundary. So any state that I just got here is just the tensor network state, if you want to really know the ground state. But here, I use a different fashion, this partition function fashion.
So again, you just be sure to understand. So you call tensor network basically the discrete, initial description of the topological quantum theory.
Yeah. So it's the kind of discrete version of TKF.
And for example, in the previous talk, when Giffey showed that there can be, so you can have different kinds of networks, but the efficiency of the description of these networks can be different, right? In some case, you need an exponential number of parameters, in some case, you need a polynomial. So according to you, this simplicial description, in which class would enter?
Here, I think no, this actual complication, because we just describe a gap phase with fixed point. So I think any tensor network, as long as the preserve this area law, is equivalent. Yeah. So you can both use mirror or usual tensor product state. It's the same thing. But here, I just gave out this Lagrangian description instead of this wave function description. But they're equivalent.
But in your case, if I'm not mistaken, the computational issues are not even interesting because you are looking at algebraic.
Yeah. So here we classify this fixed point solution. So in the fixed point, the calculation, the complexity is actually is order one because you can calculate it analytically. so no, this numerical issue. But we just argue the fixed point because in the string net and the toroidal case, it can be proved they are stable fixed points. They are stable against any local perturbations. But here, these things also the same thing.
So am I right if I say that you are not interested in, for example, evaluating or approximating the partition function of the topological quantum theory using tensor network technique?
That's a different topic. So today I'm just talking about the classification.
Sure.
If we implement in numerical, of course, we need lots of kind of approximation and understand the real system. But here is some conceptual and ideal system.
Maybe that's a point that I did not stress enough in the introduction, which is that tensor networks are not just the basis for numerical approaches.
Yeah, also classification for this phases of matter.
When you look at the partition function, your fixed point partition function, it has a tensor network structure. Does it in any way imply that the wave function will have that structure? Because the wave function you had was a superposition of all possible.
Yeah, but in the wave function level, you can still write down in terms of this local tensor. So I can show you some very simple example. Probably I should mention that. Like this, in toroidal, it's just a kind of equal weight superposition of all the configuration, right?
But the tensor network language.
Yeah. There's a very simple way. So the model is defined on this link of the square lattice. So in this model, we need a two set of tensors. So one tensor on the vertices and one tensor on this G is on the link. And G can be G up or G down because we have spin up or spin down. So this G is very simple. It's just a two-dimensional matrix. So it's just a G 0, 0, G just equal, just a kind of a projector. It's a projector. This internal space is labeled by 0, 1. You can imagine just like a string. So spin up mapped to one string and spin down mapped to no string. And this T is very simple. This T alpha beta gamma delta just equal to 0, 1 dependent. This alpha beta gamma delta is even or odd. The summation of all the indices is odd, it's 0. Otherwise, it's even, it's 1. Then you trace out this tensor, you naturally give out this equal with the superposition of all closed loop. So similar constructions also apply for the Samian model, but slightly complicated.
So you will call it as a fixed point wave function.
Yeah. So any fixed point partition function naturally corresponds to any fixed point wave function because that's kind of a holographic principle. Because you have a fixed point tensor network in the bulk, then you cut the boundary. The boundary actually gives out to you this wave function. So it's guaranteed to be a tensor product as well. Yeah.
Okay, there are no more questions. We can thank the speaker again.